Chapter 13. Just before Meg returned to Canada, we went to Frogmore Gardens for a walk. It was on the way to the airport. A favourite spot of mine, I said. It spoke to her as well. She especially loved the swans, and especially one that was very grumpy. We named him Steve. Most swans are grumpy, I said. Majestic, but sour pusses. I always wondered why, since every British swan was the property of Her Majesty, and any abuse of them, thereby, was a criminal offence. We chatted about Eugene and Jack, whom she loved. We talked about Meg's work. We talked about mine. But mostly we talked about this relationship, a subject so immense it seemed inexhaustible. We continued the talk as we got back into the car and drove to the airport, and kept talking in the car park, where I dropped her on the sly. We agreed that if we were serious about giving ourselves a chance, a real chance, we'd need a serious plan. Which meant, among other things, making a vow never to let more than 2 weeks pass without seeing each other. We'd both had long-distance relationships, and they'd always been hard, and part of the reason had always been lack of serious planning, effort. You had to fight the distance, defeat that distance, meaning travel, lots and lots of travel. Alas, my movements attracted more attention, more press. Governments had to be alerted when I crossed international borders. Local police had to be notified. All my bodyguards had to be shuffled. The burden, therefore, would fall on Meg. In the early days, it would have to be her spending time on planes, her crisscrossing the ocean, while still working full-time on suits. Many days, the car came for her at 4:15 a.m. to take her to set. It wasn't fair for her to shoulder the burden, but she was willing, she said. No choice, she said. The alternative was not seeing me, and that, she said, wasn't feasible or bearable. For the 100th time since July the 1st, my heart cracked open. Then we said goodbye again. See you in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. God, yes.